Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We continue with our Lent series, looking at Jesus' words on the cross and considering what Jesus is inviting us deeper into with each phrase. So far we've looked at Jesus' invitation to forgiveness with his words, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And last week we thought about the invitation to service with the words, "I am thirsty." This week, we look at Jesus' words to the criminal hanging on the cross next to him, as he tells him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." These words were an invitation to the criminal on the cross, and they are an invitation to us more than 2,000 years later, an invitation to hope. So let's read from Luke 23, verses 39 to 43. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." As Jesus hung there on the cross, many of those around him threw insults and mocking words at him, including one of the criminals being crucified next to him. He mockingly taunts Jesus, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." Yet the criminal's reaction on the other side was very different. "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." In his last words, this condemned man realised some very important truths about himself and about Jesus. And we'll explore what these are and consider how they help us to recognise and accept the invitation to hope that Jesus holds out to us. So the truths that the criminal recognised are his own sin, Jesus' solidarity with humanity, Jesus' sanctity, Jesus' sovereignty, Jesus' offer of salvation. And for the observant among you, you may have noticed that I have cleverly made each point begin with S to help us remember. So starting at sin. The villain hanging on one side of Jesus implies through his words and behaviours that he was unrepentant about the wrongdoing in his life, and perhaps even believed that he hadn't done enough wrong to justify any kind of punishment. While on the cross, he throws curses and mocking taunts, asking Jesus, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." This demand for Jesus not only to demonstrate his power by saving himself, but also saving the others on their crosses, seems to imply that the criminal had little sense of guilt over his own actions. It seems that instead, the criminal continues in his ignorance and arrogance by choosing to use his last breaths to mock and taunt Jesus. And certainly, it seems the offender on Jesus' other side takes a dim view of the crook's attitude and behaviour. He rebukes the other criminal, saying, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve." This man realised the depths of his own sin and wrongdoing. He recognised that he had disobeyed and rebelled against God and humanity, and so he argued they were being justifiably punished for their actions. The offender recognised that God, that a just God, cannot abide by the stain of sin, and so he knows that he suffers because his wrongdoing has separated him from God. Our sin also separates us from God, unless we come to God through Jesus. Sometimes we want to say, "How can it be just to judge everyone's wrongdoing equally? Surely there should be a scale of sin, and if we don't do anything too bad on that scale, our good deeds can outweigh them and we can earn a place in heaven." I've had conversations with people who go so far to say, I haven't done anything wrong. I don't see why I need to ask for forgiveness. In response to these statements, I can't help but remember an illustration that was told to me as a child. When we sin, it is like we are walking off the edge of a cliff. It doesn't matter if we take one small step or if we take a great giant running jump. The end result is still the same. We fall off the edge of the cliff. In a similar vein, all sin is sin to God. He doesn't grade it as bigger or smaller. All of it is rebellion against him, and so it cannot be tolerated by a God of justice. We might say that it's not fair that our sin is judged as the same as, say, a mass murderer's. But there's a difference in between the ideas of fairness and justice. Justice is a massive theme that runs throughout the Bible, but fairness is not mentioned at all because they work on different systems. When we talk about fairness, we make comparisons between two things. When we talk about justice, we are looking at individual situations. So God judges our sins against him on an individual basis, not comparing it to the situations of others. So if we want to recognise that Jesus is offering us that same invitation to hope that the criminal received, we, like the offender, need to recognise the times when we have turned away from God, when we have done wrong or refused to do what we know is right. Only by realising our sin can we see the invitation that Jesus is providing us, the promise of hope for both the future and for our present. So looking at number two, solidarity. The criminal recognised his own sinfulness, but he also noticed things about Jesus that few or none of the others noticed. One of the things he sees is Jesus' solidarity with us. The criminal states that both he and the other criminal deserved to be there as they were both under the same sentence. But he notes that Jesus had done nothing to deserve the punishment, yet he was still hanging between them. In this moment, the solidarity Jesus has with humanity is made clear. Although he could have easily avoided being arrested, he could have easily escaped from custody, and he could have come down from the cross, Jesus remains there, sharing in our suffering and pain, taking on our punishment so that we do not have to experience this for ourselves. Jesus knows what it is like to live a human life, to suffer the trials and tribulations we face, to wrestle with temptation, to feel pain, to experience grief. Jesus knows it all. He also died the death that we should have faced, the condemnation for our sin. Yet through all this, this man has done nothing wrong. Jesus became like us in all things but sin, yet he suffered the punishment for sin so that we didn't have to. Paul talks about this sense of solidarity that Jesus shares with us in 2 Corinthians 1, where he praises God, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us so that we can comfort others. And then Paul carries on saying, "For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Christ shares our sufferings and comfort just as we share his." The solidarity that Jesus shares with us goes even further. As Jesus turns to the criminal and says to him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus says to the man, "You will be with me." He stands with us as we go through the joys and sorrows, excitements and trials of life. He walks with us and tells us, "I will never desert you nor forsake you." He stands with us in solidarity as we journey through our life here on earth. But he also invites us to be with him in paradise. When our earthly lives come to an end, or when he returns to take us home, Jesus invites us to spend eternity with him, united to him in a way that we cannot understand while here on earth. Revelations 21 reminds us of this beautifully when it says, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. This is the amazing hope that Jesus offers us, that he will be with us throughout our lives, and he will take us to be with him for all eternity when our time comes. I can't ask for a more awesome invitation to hope than that. Sanctity. While Jesus stands in solidarity with us, he is also distinctly different from us because he did not sin. The felon noticed this fundamental difference between them, saying, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserved, but this man has done nothing wrong." It seemed the man noticed the things that other people didn't. Many looked at Jesus and saw a pretender for the crown, a would-be king, as the sign above Jesus' head loudly proclaimed, "This is the King of the Jews," in mocking tones. Or they saw him as a failed and impotent saviour, as the criminal mockingly said, "Save yourself and us." Or people saw him as a disappointing and blasphemous Messiah, one who claimed to be the Son of God and yet was able to be crucified by the Romans. This, they all thought, was a man in the depths of failure and weakness. Yet despite all this, the criminal looked beyond the surface to see the deeper truth of Jesus' position. He looked and saw a man who had done nothing wrong, but whose righteousness shone brightly, a man being crucified for sins not his own. The criminal saw something of Jesus' holiness, his sanctity. The innocence of Jesus marked him as holy, set apart, different. It was this holiness, this sanctity, that enabled Jesus to be the perfect sacrifice for us. He could take our sins because he had no sin of his own to repent of. Somehow the criminal on the cross was able to see that. I find it significant that Jesus joined humanity in solidarity, sharing our pain, feeling our woes, but he did not follow the example of humanity, committing the same sins or pleasing his own desires. One of the charges that were frequently raised against Jesus was that he was a friend of sinners, consorting with tax collectors and prostitutes. But although he was charged with friendship and association with these people, Jesus did not condone their activities or join in with them. Jesus knew what it meant to stand with people, to be present with them in their company, without being cajoled or pressured to join in with their activities or behaviour. Jesus calls us to follow his example and not to allow the company we keep to cause us to falter from our path as followers of Christ. And this is not to say that we should only associate with other believers either. If we are truly following Christ, we need to make friends with all people, regardless of their beliefs or behaviours, but also to remain committed to being a follower of Christ. If we think of our own situations and associations, how much can we say we emulate Christ in the way we live? Sovereignty. The criminal recognised his own sin. He recognised Jesus' solidarity, his sanctity, and also his sovereignty. Somehow, the criminal looked at Jesus and recognised that he was looking at a king. He says to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, just picture the scene for a moment. Jesus is being crucified, dying in the most undignified, horrific way imaginable. He had been stripped naked, beaten and whipped so that blood was gushing from the wounds made by the lashes. Blood, sweat, tears and dirt would have been covering him. Even his face was not spared from that delightful mess, as blood would have poured down his face from the crown of thorns digging into the skull. The sweat would have mixed with the tears to make tracks in the grime on his face. All in all, Jesus did not look at all majestic at that moment. Nothing about his appearance would have led you to think of royalty, splendour, pomp and ceremony. And yet the condemned man hanging beside Jesus managed to recognise that Jesus had power and sovereignty that would not be halted by death. this convict somehow knew that upon dying, Jesus would not face judgment, but would return to his kingdom. And this gives the felon hope, and he asks Jesus to remember him. Seems he doesn't ask for much, just that Jesus remembers him as he enters his kingdom. Then these words show that the criminal saw in Jesus a king, someone who had authority and power. Where others saw brokenness and weakness, the criminal saw strength and power. Sometimes we get influenced by the worldly values and perspectives on force and might and power and authority. We look at people on the so-called rich list and we envy them, viewing them as people with power and authority. And so we often miss signs of true power and strength in the humble things of the world. We dismiss demonstrations of tremendous grace as weakness instead of strength. We ignore displays of kindness as having no relevance. For example, in the film Bruce Almighty, in which Bruce complains to God and so God gives Bruce the power of God, there is a homeless man in a number of scenes in the background who holds up signs which speaks truth and wisdom about God. In our world, we would probably ignore the words of a homeless person because society tells us that they are insignificant. But perhaps the kingdom of God is being communicated through them. Jesus conquered over death and sin by an act of apparent weakness. So perhaps we need to rethink what we believe about strength and weakness. And finally, we look at salvation. Jesus offers the criminal an invitation to salvation. When the criminal asks Jesus to remember him when Jesus comes into his kingdom, Jesus' words show that hope is realised. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus' amazing words are an invitation, not just to the criminal, but to all of us. Jesus invites us to be with him in paradise, and he gives us the certain hope that we are restored to relationship with God through him, and so we can be with him forever in paradise. What an amazing invitation. Many would have considered that the criminal as a lost cause, a nobody to be avoided and rejected, a worthless man condemned to the pits of hell because of the life he lived. And yet Jesus looked at the heart of the man and sees repentance and sorrow. And so he responds with an offer of love and grace, providing the man with the hope that he'd be free from the chains of sin that had bound him. And Jesus provides this invitation to all of us. No one is beyond his reach. No one is unworthy of receiving his invitation. No matter who they are, what they have done, what state they are in, everyone can receive the invitation. And God welcomes all, anyone and anybody who turns to him. Now, Jesus may not physically be here to offer this invitation of hope, but he charges us with the commission to share the invitation with whoever we can. This means that we too have to be willing to welcome the outcast, the stranger, the criminal, those seen as socially unworthy, because this is what Christ did, and he is our model, our perfect example in the way to live our lives. So to recap, the criminal on the cross recognised his sin, and this enabled him to see the invitation of hope that Jesus was holding out to him. In Jesus, we see solidarity with human. He knows what it is like to live a human life. We also see in him sanctity, because although he was human, he never succumbed to the temptation of sin. We see in him sovereignty, because he rules over heaven and earth. His actions on the cross were a demonstration of his awesome power, not the weakness and failure others intended it to be. And finally, in Jesus we see the offer of salvation. He invites us to be with him and to invite others to know him too. So how will this impact your life this week? As you think about your sin, can you allow God to wipe you clean? What will change as you reflect upon Jesus' solidarity with humanity and realise his promise to be with us now and for all eternity? What impact does it have upon your life when you consider his sanctity? As a friend of sinners who did not sin, how might we follow his example? How does your view on power and authority change when you consider the sovereignty of Jesus demonstrating his power through so-called weakness and humility? And finally, how do you respond to the mission Jesus has given us to share his news of salvation with all people? Amen.